All right, welcome to Foundations call number three. Yay! So happy to see everybody here. Oh, we're going to cover a lot of terrain tonight. We're going to continue evolving the themes that we've been learning and discussing with awareness and listening and 4D listening. And we're going to begin evolving into what is a coaching session? How do we do a coaching session? What's the point? How do we help our clients to find their point? And how do we help them peel back the layers? So tonight will be practical information, and then we're going to integrate it and practice it together as a community, kind of like what we did last time. And then I'm going to send all of you out with some fun action items for the week that will include implementing and continuing to practice all of these goodies on each other and start buddy coaching as much as you want for ever, the next 6 weeks or however long we have left. So that's the overview of tonight, but let's start with a check-in round. So I would love to hold space for 2 to 5 minutes for each person. Let's go ahead and land in the space wherever we're coming from. And so we'll do a check-in around how we're feeling so that we can tune each other into our felt state. And if you need to take a few moments, if you're just like landing here, coming from somewhere else, feel free to, you know, take a moment, take a few breaths, center in. I totally welcome anything that is helpful for you to be here now and land with us. So we'll share how we're feeling, and then let's go ahead and include shares from the week. So we'll kind of combine the check-in with an overview of how our week went and any recap from the action items. So those being the levels of listening, the 4D check-in, the if you had an opportunity to get to it, there were some questions that I had put in the bonus items, and also some core competency deeper digging. But anything, any of that or anything related or peripherally related, you are welcome to share, especially insights, ahas, connection points, and or questions or places where you're kind of feeling it but not quite, you know, feeling it all the way. We would love to hear just where everyone's at, and that will help to guide me as well tonight in terms of the terrain that I have planned for us. So let's do a check-in. I'll start. I am feeling really landed right now. I was kind of tired this afternoon, and then I convinced myself that I needed more energy for my coaching calls, so I listened to some music and danced around like a silly teenage girl. So I'm feeling energized, but I'm also feeling really landed at the same time, if that makes any sense. Shares from the week, I'll just keep mine short since I'm the teacher or the facilitator. I'm just really enjoying teaching this and sharing all of this with you ladies, and it's helping me to even integrate and really, really glean from the 7 years that I've been in the coaching world and then psychology before that. It's really helping me to like really get the icing on the cake and share with all of you what I truly believe to be the most important stuff. And it's helping me to like sift through my experience and what's been really helpful. So I'm really enjoying the kind of multidimensional process that I get to go through in leading this. It's awesome. All right, I will pass the baton to Miss Herky. Hi, Herky.
Hi, everyone. So I was in New York last week and came back on Sunday night, and I feel like health-wise, I'm feeling good. I had this huge barrier since childhood of every time a physical exercise comes, except for dancing and some other things, like it's really hard to push me. But past 1 week, I've kept up. I go running, which is sort of big for me because, you know, like I used to tell you, I can do yoga, I can do this, but I cannot do this. And I've been conscious about it. So that way I feel more energized because I was beginning to feel a bit overwhelmed. And I was thinking, I have one client. And I have, you know, just started the business, but I think maybe initial phases you feel, but definitely no matter how conscious I was, the overwhelm, just, I guess it's just so many thoughts or so many of the whole entrepreneurship, you know, this, do this or do that, or should I go in this direction or what should I do, you know, so many bits and pieces of the wheel, just the thought of those was overwhelming versus actually doing. I can't say I was doing much, but I guess just being overwhelmed, thinking all this. And then I'm thinking, how do I left corporate for a reason. And there are some reasons, you know, of like spending time with my kids, having that freedom, not doing this. How do I, as I go along the path, I don't want to get distracted. I also became part of a group which has a lot of doing, and I seem to be like the only turtle there, you know, going my way. And but at the same time, you know, I don't want to, I have to be sort of practical and get all the, pay my bills and all those things. But I want to make sure that I stay true to what the reason I left corporate and came to the business, because I don't want to make this another do and this, and then I don't get to spend time and with, I want to spend time, you know, my own meditation time. I want to spend time with the kids. I want to also be able to do the coaching and meditation, but that's hardly, I'm hardly doing that. I'm just doing, you know, administrative stuff. So yeah, so that's my little rant.
Yeah. Thanks, Harki. Thanks for that very honest and authentic check-in. Your energy tonight is so bubbly, like I can feel it. It's exuding from you.
That's the running part of it.
Yeah, which also amazing. Yay. That's great. Yeah, so I can feel the positive energy emitting from you, and I appreciate your check-in around all the things. Like that's just all the things and the overwhelm. Who can relate with what Harki is sharing right now? Like, what do I do? There's so many things. Plus, you're doing other things. You have kids or a job. Yeah. Yeah. So last night for team, actually, I'll post the team recording and resource in the Foundations group, because last night we talked about systems and support and how to know when, how to create systems, how to create support. And so I'll post that in the Foundations page, because that is definitely related to what you're speaking to right now, for sure. So,
thank you.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Let's see. Stace, hi. How are you?
I'm feeling kind of, Wednesdays I work from home and I've got two kids at home. They're 9 and 11. They're pretty self-sufficient, but it's pretty, and I just dropped them off with their dad and then I come here. So it's usually a chaotic day, right, where I've done that 3 days in a row by myself at home. So usually I'm just like feeling a little like exhausted, I guess. I have been feeling really miserable with my work conditions, just different personality dynamics, and being in office furniture sales and no one working just has been kind of demoralizing a bit. And just, you know, feeling that corporate, like, lack of leadership, just sell, lack of empathy, lack of connection, lack of anything I want to support, but still feeling like I have to do it to support my family. So, it sucks. I've really liked the coaching training and doing different work. I've noticed I've been having like at least 2 or 3 hour long conversations with peers, with friends, with, it's just so many of us are going through such a hard time. So that's been really powerful. So I can see, it's one of those things. I think Brené Brown is the queen of it's this and it's this. So kind of, I can see both and acknowledge both, but it's definitely a time in life where it feels, super overwhelming.
Thank you. What's coming up for you right now? Like I can sense the emotions that are coming up. Is it the overwhelm, or was there like a specific trigger that has you feeling emotional?
I think it's just, it feels messy if I really look at life everywhere. It feels like nothing is like just kind of clicking together, you know? So it's just, I feel like, I kind of feel like a little bit of a failure in like all the categories, or at least most of them. and I just, my work situation is really, that is probably what's the heaviest for me right now, just because it's just nothing I want to be doing. I mean, I used to be a designer, and then I switched into being a sales rep, really to help people, to support. I started out as an A&D designer, so I would support architects and designers and do presentations and take them to lunch and dinner. And then I got into this role, which is much more about like, how do you make people's workspace really amazing? And to have that kind of all stripped away and have it just, I literally work for someone who is just like, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter about these huge issues we're talking about, just go sell furniture. And it's just kind of like gets you in your gut a little bit, you know, where it's like, there's so much more happening in the world right now than a stupid task chair, you know? So it's just tough.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for communicating that. It's a lot to navigate. Yeah. And there's a lot of frenetic energy right now everywhere, as you mentioned, and a lot of adapting and just doing our best to keep our sea legs about us in a very, very, very tumultuous ocean. And I appreciate your honesty and your ability to feel that and feel through it and share that with us. Thank you so much. Yeah. And your empathy, your antenna for like, actually, I'll just show of hands, who is either working in corporate or has worked in corporate for and just been like so disconnected from what it is that you're doing. Like, why am I doing this? What is the point? Like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, thank you for speaking to that space. I can assure you that Herky, Ashley, and Aliana, Kim loves her job, fortunately, but I believe you've been there too at points, Kim, but Ashley, Herky, and Aliana have been, you know, very similar scenario, and I want you to know you're not alone, Stace, and I want to invite all of us to tap into what Stacey's sharing here and, like, allow that to fuel our mission in the world. Allow that to fuel our mission, because if there's 4-5 of you on the call, 6 of us on a call that have experienced that in some capacity, especially those who've worked in corporate, there are thousands more out there right now feeling the same way. And those are our people, right? That's our tribe. So in a way, it's like a blessing and a burden. Like you said, Brené Brown's like, it's this and it's this. But I want to just invite and allow for that to be a really strong invitation and nudge for us to rise to the occasion even more so, or like really tune into it. And yeah, not to say you're not, but yeah, thanks. Herky. Mm-hmm.
I can so relate to you, Stacey. I just remembered of an incident. One of my team members, that girl, she lost her brother, and we have like offshore team in India and stuff. And I was in this meeting in the morning and stuff, and my, you know, the first thing my boss is, what's the backup? And how are we going to plan? And what are we going to do? And I'm like, could we give 7 seconds maybe to see this person has worked 5 years in the company, for God's sake? And you're treating people like animals. I mean, not even animals. I mean, that's not the right way, but I couldn't even process it. I had to go out, and sometimes I guess you can't just leave. Sometimes in my lunch break, I used to go out, but I used my phone or journaling at that time just to be able to process. So to just take care of yourself is all I'm saying. I mean, this is, you can't change the world overnight, but just coming back, centering your own self. Whether sometimes the restroom is all I needed to just be away from this, you know. And yeah, one time I called Fawn and during my office hours too.
Thanks, Herky. Yeah. Oh, so much empathy here, Stace. Huge hugs around you right now, for sure. Yeah. I'll do a check-in with Kim. How's Miss Kim doing today?
Hello, everybody. I am feeling better, actually. Physically, and I have some energy today, so I almost didn't take some medicine because I didn't want to jinx it, but I took it anyway, and I still feel fine, so happy about that. And I've been able to eat today, finally, like the way I, not the type of food, but at least the portion of food that I'd rather be eating, so that's a good thing. I started, of course, journaling and different things like that, and I think the thing that I noticed when I wasn't feeling good is I really tried to do that, what does it feel like to be in my body right now, and try to do that, like, even, because at one time when I was standing, it was just, like, draining all the energy out of me, so, and then after that, I felt like, okay, is this really how I feel or am I anticipating that? So it was a really good way for me to really tune in and see. And another thing is I heard when I was listening to the recording from last week, somebody was talking about not being able to take in the stories of others without getting involved. I don't know who that was. But, okay, it was Stacey. So I was like, okay, I can relate to that because, like, I've had to shut off the news and different things like that. And so even before on the call, I was watching the news and it was talking about the president wanting us to go back to school. And I do love my job. However, our superintendent, I mean, our CEO, has opted to start online for the fall and then see where we are. And then I saw what the president had said last night about cutting funding for schools who don't start back up in person. So I found myself getting so involved and just like anxiety and angry. And I was like, I really need to get this other profession up and going because I'm not going to, you know, because it's so hard with kids. And they were talking about, we know we need to give them more money, but more money to have, what is it, PPE equipment and to be able to spread their kids out. And I'm thinking, have these people been in a school? Like, the building is the building. How are you going to give us extra space? There's no extra space, sir. So I found myself going there. And then they said something, the governor in Texas and the governor of New York said something, is that we can make all the plans in the world, but if the virus says something different, then we will deal with it. And I said, yes. So I'm not going to get concerned about it in July. When August comes and they start up school and it seems unsafe, it'll speak for itself. And so then I said, okay, I got to remember not to be pulled in, you know, sucked in like it is. And what you were saying on the call is everything is neutral. We add meaning to it. And so I had to take, because I was going to be like, you know, all mad and just ready to, you know. So, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yes. And I did work at the bank for like 8 years and decided while I was in college, and I was like, cannot do this because my first major was business and finance. So hats off to you ladies, because yeah. No, thank you.
But wow. Anyway.
So thank you for sharing that, Stacey, in last week's, because I did that resonated with me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for those connection points too, Ken, like tying that into what was discussed last week and how you were reflecting on it and my goodness, as a teacher and a mom, like, I'm feeling a lot around that for you right now, like, following the
new year. And I'm like, in her school right now is going back, and I know she wants to go, you know, and I'm just like,
gosh, thank you. And amazing that you were able to notice what was happening as it was happening and notice the shift when you saw, you know, you kind of tuned into a different perspective about it and reminded yourself about what we had talked, you know, about the thinking and the neutrality and stuff. Like, good job being able to just be aware of that. And it's not even necessarily that we need to do anything in the moment so much as it is like, okay, I'm having this experience as a result of my reaction to this, like, my interpretation of the stimulus, right? And so I appreciate that you were able to integrate that, feel what you were feeling, tune in with yourself, and then make a decision about it and be like, I'm just going to go ahead and, like, not get on the dance floor until I have to around that. Yeah, it's awesome. Like, those are, you're practicing your Jedi skills already. It's badass.
I'm just sitting here. I'm doing nothing.
It's all here.
So thank God that you're giving us tools, because if I was just sitting here thinking my old way, woo!
Right. Oh, awesome. I'll check in with Ashley. How's it going?
Hello. So much better now. This morning and throughout most of the day today, I was having a actually pretty rough day, pretty shitty day. And I haven't had this bad of a day in a long time, or at least it's been a while since I haven't been able to. I'm usually pretty good about catching myself and recognizing and being like, okay, I need to, like, you know, use some of the tools that you've taught us and all that or whatever. But today I just could not get myself out of it. There's some heavy personal stuff going on right now. And then also just fucking the corporate consulting job. I'm like, I just don't want to do it anymore. And there's a lot of, like, it's just taking way too much of my time recently. And there's, like, deadlines and shit. And I'm like, I don't fucking care anymore. And I don't want to do it anymore. I'm like, so that was a realization. Well, not a realization. I always know this, but it was like, I got to get out of this quicker than I thought I needed to get out of this. Because, I mean, yes, I quit my corporate job and I don't have to do it full time, but even the consulting stuff is just meh. But then I had a consult call this afternoon, right before this call, and now I feel fucking amazing. So it's like, I don't know. It's just all points to, yeah, doing this really energizes me and shifts in me. And I mean, and it was a good call, and I, you know, it was a great conversation. She's definitely our people and needs to get out of the corporate world too. But regardless of if we work together or not, it was just a good conversation and it just energized me. And it's completely turned my mood into like a 180. Like, I came out of the room and went to talk to my husband about something and I was like bouncing off the walls. Like, you know, and before I was like, earlier today, I was just having a shitty day, like down to the car, my car key fob battery not working anymore, and I couldn't fucking get in my car. Like, so it's just, I don't know. So I'm feeling amazing now and in a really good mood. And then, yeah, just some of the stuff that we talked about from last time in terms of the different levels of listening. And obviously, I try to be mindful of that when I'm doing my calls or consults or stuff. And I think I'm pretty good. I'm not perfect, but I think I'm pretty good about it. But it feels like I've been tapping a little bit more into some of that intuitiveness a little bit more. It's been really, really good. Cause I'll, obviously we have, you know, you guys who have trained with Fawn, there's like a, you know, consult and way to do the consult and stuff, but now I'm kind of tuning in a little bit more to my own style and being like, what if there's a question that pops in my mind or something that I need to comment on? I'm just really filling into that now with the consults and the coaching calls in general. So that's just been a nice little breakthrough, aha, whatever you want to call it, in the last couple I don't know, in the last week or so too. And even I did it today again on the consult. So yeah, that's my check in now. Just got to hurry up and get all the consulting stuff done, out of my way. I don't know. I just don't want to do it anymore. Because and you were talking earlier about, like, you know, the whys, and it's such a big motivator for me. That's what keeps me going on all of this stuff, because I know coaching is the thing that I want to do, not the consulting stuff. Like, it was so apparent today. I don't know, that fuels my, like, intensity to keep on going with it, all this stuff. So, yeah.
Wow. That is such an awesomely dynamic human day description right there. It's like, I love it. I love it. I love it all, because it's the textures of the highs and the lows that help us to feel into what we resonate with most, right? And what's aligned with us. And I am so grateful that you're able to witness it, right? Like, from the bird's eye view, and be like, well, now I'm feeling great, but before I wanted to, like, throw a rock through a window.
That would have made me feel good for a little bit, but
Awesome. Thanks, Ash. And thanks for your share around the implementation of allowing for the spatial part and the intuitive part. We're going to talk about that tonight, actually, too, with your sessions, and, like, allowing yourself to emerge through the structure that you've been practicing and improvising around the scales. And I'm so happy about that. Yay. Cool. All right. And Aliana, feel free to check in with us. I know that you... Oh, yay!
I'm here. She's just wide awake, so you can tell. Yeah. But, wait, can you see us? Yeah. As if she lets me talk, because it's all about Lowen. But, I'm feeling a little hopeful. Carlos, he got a call for Florida, and the guy told him that so the way this construction site works is that it's a 2-crane job, and so they're considering him for the second one. So it's not that they're considering him, but they're considering the company. So I'm praying, and I'm feeling very hopeful. So is Lowen. So, yeah. And nature, and say hi. We were in nature, and I was able, Stacy inspired me to read The Untethered Soul, finally. So I was doing that while sitting outside in the mountains, and that was fun. Yeah, that's about it. Lowen's going to steal the show. So yeah, I'll hop on once Carlos gets home, but he's running late.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the check-in. Oh my god. She's too cute. yay, well, I'm happy to hear the potential for a location shift for you guys. So we'll keep our fingers crossed over here. Aliana, thanks for checking in. And yay for reading The Untethered Soul. On that note, so book club, we've been reading Untethered Soul through chapter 5. And then we're going to have a book club meeting this weekend on Saturday at 2 Pacific for an hour to talk about Untethered Soul and just discuss it and kind of kick some questions and ideas around as a group. And then I'll be doing just like a short introduction to the Inside Out Revolution, which is the next book we're going to be reading as a group. So anyone wants to join us on Saturday, please feel free to do so. You can wear your pajamas and your hot cocoa or whatever. It reminds me of like elementary school read-ins. Like, I just want to get cozy and read and hang out. but yay. Cool. All right. I got everybody. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for the check-ins, ladies. And I appreciate that we're able to stretch into these check-ins in an organic and authentic way. I'm keeping an eye on time and pacing and what we have for the night, but also, and please feel free to implement this in your individual coaching or your group coaching as well, is like, being able to dance between the structured and the unstructured and the planned and the improvisational invitation in the moment to hold space for whatever's coming up, and, you know, and really speaking to that and not just like cruising through stuff because we have so much to get to and, you know, all that. So thanks for being there with each other, and also being able to drop in with each other too. It's awesome. So cool. All right. So we've got a few things to cover tonight. My high level intention is to introduce you to or deepen your understanding of what coaching is, and more specifically what a coaching session is and what it's for and how it works. So we're going to begin that discussion tonight, and as I mentioned, I'll have you ladies start buddy coaching beginning this week, so you'll be able to implement this stuff. I can't roll out, obviously, like all the things related to what a coaching session is and all the different approaches and formats and stuff like that. So I'm going to do my best to introduce this in kind of a twofold manner. Tonight I'll do like one angle, and next week maybe I'll do another angle. Tonight I'm going to be presenting and kind of teaching and walking us through things as the ICF has them structured and organized. The ICF, I have a very mixed relationship or feeling around them. Like, I understand why they're there. It's very important to have like an organization that's holding a standard for the way things operate. And at the same time, I think it's only like a surface layer thing. And so I tend to teach a lot more than the ICF allows for or requires, but I do think it's important that, and it's my due diligence as your teacher, to let you know what the ICF considers to be their core competencies. So like, that is like what makes a coach a coach. And then also the ICF standard model insofar as the coaching session. They have a very specific and particular arc that a coaching session is supposed to take. So I'm going to teach you the rules or teach you the structure so that then we can break the rules. Like, kind of like Ashley was sharing earlier around the structure of a consult call, which is not ICF related necessarily, but it's like sales psychology. So we learn that, and then we learn to like improvise and dance inside of that in our own authentic, unique way. So the focus, in addition to talking about the standard session format, last week we talked about listening and layers of listening, like first, second, and third layers. And the week before that, we were trying on our dimensions, like the four dimensions of awareness, right? So these are our senses, right? These are the things that we are exercising and practicing to bring into our conversations with our clients or with our groups and with ourselves, so that we can help each other shine, right? How we help them shine. In the view of the ICF and a lot of training organizations, the purpose and the goal of coaching is to help others achieve their goals, basically. Like, it's very goal-oriented. It's very, like, vision, mission, accomplishment, like, you know, live the best life possible, which totally, like, yes, that's great. And what I like to build into that is a curiosity and a first layer curiosity around the light inside the person first, and then does that align with what they say they want? Does that align with their goals? Does that align with kind of the superficial metrics of things? So one of the tools that are an additional tool to tuning into that is our intuition. And I think Ashley was kind of speaking to that a little bit earlier, where it's like, it's not planned. We don't really know where it comes from. It's just like in the moment we have this insight, we're like, oh, I'm asking this. So tonight I'm going to build in this idea, this skill, this muscle of intuition as we talk about the ICF standard format. Intuition is something that our society kind of poo-poos on, because there's like to prove it, you know, like, where's the evidence? How do you know your intuition is on point? Like, that's silly. There's no facts. Where's the science? Like, we're such a science-driven, you know, empirical society, which is great, and it serves us greatly. But at the same time, it's only a partial attribute to the holistic human system that can tune into environments and other people. So intuition, you can think of it as your subconscious mind, you can think of it as your spiritual connection, you can think of it as the unknown source of insight and creativity, whatever's helpful for you. But it is really important, and I would almost go out on a limb to say, the mangoes are falling, I would almost go out on a limb to say that intuition is one of the most important things in coaching. Once we get really, really in the moment with that third dimensional listening with our client, when that happens, we're just, the intuition is just like, it just starts connecting. And it's a level of, I think, like a level of information and a level of tuning in that's higher than our brains can even consciously try to come up with a lot of the time. So intuition is going to be the muscle we're practicing this week. And before we dive into, I'm going to share my screen and go over some stuff with you guys. But before that, let's just do a round robin, a quick popcorn round of what is your relationship with your intuition, and how do you know when your intuition is happening, when there's like an intuitive hit or like a sense or a gut feeling or an instinct around something? Like, and if you don't know, that's totally okay too. That's, we're going to be practicing this stuff for weeks. So yeah, that if you do have a relationship with your intuition, how do you know when it's signaling to you? So we'll do a quick round robin, maybe a minute share maximum each, because I definitely want to get to the other stuff too. So I'll start with you, Ashley.
For me, it's just this nagging feeling that I need to do X, or I need to do I need to ask that question, or I need to, even non-coaching related, I need to do that. Like, I don't know. It's a nagging feeling that just comes up, and I'm like, all right, this is coming up. I should probably listen to it. I don't know how else to describe it. And then on the opposite end of that, if there's something that my gut is telling me is not, or my intuition, whatever you want to call it, is telling me that's not good, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a bit of a resistance or something around it too. So, yeah, for me, it's a nagging feeling that, yeah, speak up or say something or do this, or you should, whatever. I don't know, that I used to not tap into that a lot or listen to it, especially when I was in the corporate world. But you guys know who have been in it. It's just, it's weird sometimes to speak your truth sometimes. But but especially in the last like year or so, I've been able to tap a lot more into it and listen to it and feel more confident in it, I guess, too, to listening to my intuition. So.
Awesome. Thanks for that share. Great. Stacey, how about you?
I feel like I have a really good relationship with my intuition. Weird things, like I'll go to call my sister and she's calling, like literally calling me at the exact same moment, or times when something just keeps popping into my head, like going through this coaching, I was like, I should see if my niece wants to be a guinea pig. And I just kept, like, that voice kept coming around, and I text her today, and sure enough, she was like all about it, and it's just what she's, you know, kind of been looking for. So little moments like that. I also have one of the things that popped in my head when you were talking about it. My previous marriage, I was married to someone who's a sex addict. And when we got divorced, he said to me, you knew every single time when I was doing something, and you like could, you were communicating, or, and he was hiding all of it. So it was just like that gut feeling of like, something's up, something's wrong, something's not right. And And he said, don't ever forget that you have that voice, because he was like, I was just amazed at how you would pick up on it every single time. So I think it's when I'm really close and tight with someone, and it's like I can almost feel their energy and feel when things are right or when things are just kind of like not really right too.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I like how both you and Ashley are illustrating the knowingness, the intuitive of like a yes, and then the intuitive of like something's off. Something's not right. Yeah. Thank you. Herky, how about you? You just posted an amazing article about intuition. I'm going to repost that in the Foundations group.
Yes, and thank you. I feel like I always had a strong intuitive sense, but I was a master at shoving everything down and not letting it express itself. Yeah. And I experienced it in parenting, in job, in marriage, you know, and in many other areas. Like, I can remember not to be around certain relatives, that feeling like something is not to be around this man, you know, as a teenage girl or as a child, and or certain people, or being called to be with certain people in the company of. And I guess as a parent, you know, it's so many times it's like you wake up and you like, you just feel, you check your, you go to your kid's bedroom and lo and behold, they have a fever. You know, and you're just like in the middle of the night, you wake up. And so that I experienced out of just, you know, just tuning in. I guess you tuned in so strongly. And then in my marriage too, you know, like after I had my first child, my daughter, I was here and my husband couldn't be here for various, you know, visa reasons and stuff. But I had to go back once she was 3 months old. And every pore in my cell and my body said that I should not go back. You know, it's, I already knew that I've made a mistake or whatever, you know, I should not be in that relationship. And I was with my parents, I tried to share it with them. And of course, you know, they're like, oh, you're just, you know, you have the child, you have, you know, they brought in postpartum and then they brought in many other things. But even today, I know that, you know, it would have been a different turn. Not that I'm, you know, saying that it should be this or that, but so those kind of moments. And then now leaving corporate, I have a friend called Stacy, and she's like an intuitive coach, and she really, she was a top saleswoman who had like 200 people under her, and how she left corporate and how she is into a totally different thing. And she's become so clairvoyant, and she was just this sales, very high sales executive who became this. And so she always keeps telling me, listen to the inner tug, listen to the inner tug. And when I was sharing about my job, she was like, don't keep ignoring her. Follow the tugs. The more you follow, the more you will trust. And over the past 6 or 7 months, I have consciously tuned into it, and also into my physical sensations of the body. What is it telling me? And I really, really do feel that every time I am listening to it, I feel so much better. And I really, it turns out to be the best decision for me, you know, in this thing. So I want to keep doing that, you know, because it is really the key.
Ooh, thank you for sharing that. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I love that you've been tuning into that consciously.
Yeah.
Exciting. You and, yeah, all you guys. Kim, how about your relationship with intuition?
I think a while ago I really equated, just because of my upbringing and my experience, was a lot of, it was spiritually connected, like God speaking to me. That was my relationship with it. And I've had some good things, like my job, knowing when to switch working at a place or reaching out to someone, even in church or at my school, just knowing that timing. And then also, a few times in my life, it has been when I wasn't really listening, it showed up in my dreams. So I have had that kind of experience before. But then I didn't want it because it seemed like it was, some of it was negative. And so for me, I just pushed it down with a lot of different things. Although it still came through with certain things. I think it just depended on what part of me I had shut down. So I don't know if I shut down it or just like part of myself. And then I started working with you. And, and so I picked that back up. And now I feel like I try to explore it every day and tune into it. And then also working with Herky in the 21-day meditation. So those, all of that has helped me a lot. And I feel like it's coming back, or at least that I'm open, you know, and receptive, and there's nothing I'm trying to shove down to stop it from flowing. So, yeah.
Thank you. And how about you, Aliana? Do you have a moment? I know Loan wants to steal the mic, so if you're able to share about intuition, welcome to. Okay, we'll keep moving forward. All right. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your experiences with intuition and your relationship with it. I want to assure you all that you have direct access to dimensions of knowing and sensing and understanding that go far beyond your conscious mind. In fact, as a lot of you know, because of LFP, the subconscious mind, right, if we're just keeping this straight up science-y, the subconscious mind is 95% of our cognitive activity. 95%. Think about that. That's fucking crazy. Which means it's totally out of our awareness, right? We're not aware of it. We barely have access to it. And it's running 95% of our situation. So that alone, right, is this incredible system that's functioning and helping us stay alive and our heartbeat and our veins pump. And our subconscious mind on a biological level is also very connected to our fight, flight, or freeze system, our parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, wherein we have, over millions of years, developed an intelligence that is faster than our detectable awareness. So in psychological studies, there's, for a long time now, but there's been a fascination with imperceptible reaction and imperceptible reaction time. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll like show a move, show something neutral, but then have one frame be something really pleasant and, you know, maybe like pink flowers and puppies or something like that. And, but it's not detectable. The person afterward has no idea they've seen it, but they know they've seen it. They feel like their mood ratings or whatever will increase. And then conversely, they'll do that with like really violent things that are in between the frames, and there's like a visceral reaction. So that's just one of the thousands, if not who knows how many, ways in which our system is tuning in and tuned in all the time to our surrounding area. And as I mentioned earlier, in the Western world and in society, we're so heavily programmed to rely on our logical minds and like figure things out in a really logical way and have, you know, a system for everything and proof for everything, which is great. Again, science has its place. Love it. And it's only a slice of the picture. It's only one part of the picture. And what I'm inviting us to do, not only with this intuition awareness, but also with levels of listening and the 4D stuff and everything else we're going to be doing. I'm not kidding when I say that I'm kind of putting us through Jedi school, in that we're learning how to pay attention in ways that we haven't paid attention before. And we're learning how to turn our awareness up and like increase the volume or the receptivity on our awareness so that we can tune into our clients, I mean, anybody else we want to, tune in a way that is beyond, they have a sad frown right now, they must be sad, I wonder why they're sad, right? Like, so that we can take an inventory of somebody in a split second, whether it's over the phone or whether it's in person, and we can have a curiosity that's multidimensional as opposed to just like asking questions or going at face value. We can sense that, which then informs the questions that we ask, right? And informs the directions that we might move in. when we're doing that with all hands on deck, sensorily and with our intuition, that's where like insight can come in on both sides, and that level three listening can happen. So I'm speaking to this because we have been so heavily programmed to rely on structure, and we've been so heavily programmed to like depend on our list of questions and like choose the right question and, you know, make sure we know what to ask in the moment or which resource or which recommendation to give. And yes, that's important, but also we have this whole subconscious mind, and I'll be getting to this later because it's some pretty heady advanced stuff, but we also have a direct connection with what is sometimes called the morphogenic field or the quantum field, wherein everything is impacting everything else around us. This is proven. This isn't like hippy-dippy baloney. This is like now, thankfully, there are studies to show that something can happen that is on an atomic level or on almost a molecular level, affecting or impacting or informing us, and we will have a knowingness about it, and we won't know why. And then also for survival, we have this primal part of our brain, which is our reptilian part of our brain, above our brainstem, that then is connected to our vagus nerve, which runs from the bottom of our torso up the front of our body, up our neck, up to our brain, to our face. The vagus nerve is the biggest and most ancient nerve in our survival mechanism. And so when we feel that trigger of like yes or no, but especially no, it happens. We don't know. We may not know why. We just, something we picked up in our radius on our radar just tipped us off that there might be like stranger danger or something's not cool, something's, you know, not right. And our vagus nerve activates because, to keep it simple, the vagus nerve is what helps us to get out of there, like fight, flight, or freeze, usually run or fight. So the vagus nerve activates and all kinds of other things happen. But these are just some of the ways in which this amazing vessel that we inhabit can inform us as to what's going on in any scenario. And it's really, really fun. And this is what we're going to start playing with this week. It's really fun to start trying this stuff on in buddy coaching and with friends and, you know, casually before we start actually officially working with clients. Because you get to, I mean, they don't even have to know any of this stuff, but you get to start playing with, ooh, okay, like I just felt this curiosity or like something feels off right now. And like you can navigate that, and you can let them know too if it's super informal, like, hey, I'm working on focusing on intuition this week. So I might just blurt out if I'm like, hey, I have an intuitive hit about this, that, or the other. Okay, so there's the like logical format of coaching that I'm about to share with you. And then I just really wanted to be clear in sharing that there's also this entire world of information that we access that ICF never fucking talks about. So there's that. All right. So speaking of ICF, let's talk about them for a minute. All right. So I just want to be completely upfront and honest with all of you. So I do sincerely believe that the ICF is it's a very important organization. It really does hold a bar for standard of coaching where one needs to be set. And I'm glad that a lot of people care about the ICF and that they want to become certified and associated with the ICF. Like, I think that that is great. And you will hear me speak of the ICF sometimes in ways where you're like, are you sure, Fawn? And yes, I do think it's important. I also think that it is, there are things that I don't align with so much with regard to the ICF, and then there are some things that I do. So I just want to be totally honest with you ladies about that. So in terms of their format and their core competencies, it checks out. Like it's useful. I agree with it. And I think it's a very helpful framework to get our coaching baby legs stronger with and learn how to navigate the coaching conversation with. So that's why I start with this. And then we're going to learn how to break these, not break the rules, but if we need to, we'll learn how to play outside the sandbox. Okay. So Ash, do you still need to hop off at the hour? I just want to acknowledge that. Okay. Ashley has to hop off. Thanks for being with us. I'll post the recording tomorrow.
Yeah, it's corporate with our colleagues in China. I don't want to.
You can do it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sorry, guys. See you all.
Your intuition, Ashley.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Intuition is telling me to stay on this call, but.
Come stay.
Thanks, Ash. Okay, so there are two aspects of the ICF's framework that I'm going to go through with you ladies here, and I'm going to keep the teachy part of this to as minimal as I can, because you guys can go through this stuff, review it, and read through it after this call or anytime you want. So I want to make sure that I'm doing my best to utilize these calls for, like, the group interactivity, since we're all here. However, I will give you a high-level walkthrough of this. Okay, so there's the ICF standard coaching session format. So from their perspective, a coaching session should have a specific arc, a specific flow, and has a specific purpose, and has a specific set of steps to go through to achieve that purpose. And what it really is a brainstorming session, to be honest. It's a brainstorming session where we get to pull in different tools and approaches and ICF core competencies to support the brainstorm session. But if I'm being honest, what it is our client has something that they're struggling with. They have a vision or a longing that they want to achieve. And we get to help them go on the journey of how they might be able to remove the challenges or the barriers or whatever's holding them back so that they can then do the thing they want to do or have the thing they want to have, or et cetera. So, but you can think of it as a brainstorming session. We don't need to overcomplicate things. I just want to be clear about that. So I'll walk us through that. And then, so there's like the format, which is the session format. And then there's the core competencies. So the core competencies, according to the ICF, are the embodiment that we contain and bring to the table as coaches, the things, the tools, the skills, the way of being that we are to show up with as a coach to then facilitate the coaching session format. So there's the way of being and skill set, and then there's applying the way of being and the skill set to that. So again, all of this checks out with me. It's super useful. And let's take a look at what this looks like here. I think a visual aid is helpful. Okay. So, standard, can you guys see my screen? You good? Okay, cool. All right. So these are my notes here, but session timeline, architecture, and components. That's my way of kind of breaking it down into what the heck is this. So there's like linear time, right? We have a beginning of the session and an end of a session. What is the timeline? And then the architecture, what is built into that timeline? And then what are the components within the architecture of this brainstorming session? Let's see, and I'll post this in our action items, of course. So session structure, I'm going to cruise through this pretty quickly and highlight what I think is an important focus for us. So it's broken into 9 parts, and I think it's in 3 major phases. So the first phase, we can think of it as, I'll just keep it a brainstorming session. So the beginning phase is where we're establishing, we're coming into connection with our client. We're establishing rapport, safety, trust. And this is really important to do as we first start working with our clients, as we're getting to know them. Later down the line, I'll talk about like an onboarding session or an initial session that you can have with your clients. Some of you already know this because you've coached with me, but you can establish confidentiality, trust, ethical guidelines, and what they refer to as the coaching agreement. You can do all of that in your initial session and like really set things up and empower your client to know exactly what to expect, exactly what's going on here, how you work, how you operate, all that stuff. The ICF doesn't necessarily recommend that you do that. They do recommend that you do this every time, which I don't particularly agree with, and I'll tell you why. So it just seems really laborious to do this every, if you're working with someone for 12 sessions, right, it seems a little bit like overkill to establish confidentiality every time. They would like you to, but it's kind of, you know, hopefully it's already been discussed and established. However, establishing rapport, trust, intimacy, those things are our duty and our responsibility as coaches to establish, whether the client usually doesn't even know we're doing it, but at the beginning of every call, we get to set the stage for them to be able to drop in and open up and feel comfortable shifting into the space of the session. So there's a lot to say about this, and I'll definitely include some resources about what goes into every single piece of this overall format here. But to summarize, the establishing trust, intimacy, and rapport, it can be something as, you know, simple as how's your day going? How was your weekend with your family? A lot of you know, I like to start with a gratitude, which everybody knows. So we'll start with a gratitude. I'll check in. How's your day? How have you been doing? Let's start with a gratitude. And the gratitude piece is so great because it's scientifically proven to orient our neurochemistry to be creative and increase ideation, increase confidence, increase all kinds of stuff. So gratitudes are a great thing to open with. And it helps the client to focus on what's going well for them without even really knowing that that's what they're doing. And when we pivot our attentional system to abundance versus scarcity, a lot more can come through. So gratitudes are great, or asking what went well or what was a high point of your week, etc. So the coaching agreement, again, this is something you can establish in your contract as well as in your initial session. You don't necessarily need to do this every time. It depends on the direction you decide to go in with your coaching format. So the ICF is under, they're operating from a place where we work with our clients session by session. There's not necessarily a program or a format that we're following, or even a like long-term trajectory. I mean, maybe there's one, maybe there's not. ICF is super focused on like session by session, as its own container. I don't work that way, but that's fine. That's just my choice. So the coaching agreement is essentially letting the client know what we're doing during the session. So because they set this up in a way that is session by session, this is where you can inform your client as to, or ask them, what would you like to discuss today? Or what would you like to walk away with today? Or what would feel really great if we were to be 45 minutes from now and kind of wrapping things out and you were feeling great, what might be happening and what would that look like? So essentially, we're having the client tune into their objective and their vision for the call, and that helps us gain a sense of where they want to be headed, and that naturally leads into the vision or focus theme. The way that I coach is obviously LFP, so I have like a format, and I have I'm usually on a journey with my clients, or I'm usually at some point in the overall journey with all of you, most of you. So the coaching agreement for me is usually I read through the session prep, I get their updates, like what they've gotten done, what they haven't, and then I take a look at where we're at in the journey and their workbooks and what module we might be in. And then I will say, you know, let's do some review, and then let's really focus on your Gremlins workbook today, because it looks like that one was like really intense for you, right? So this is conveying to your client, just letting them know what we're doing, basically giving them that reassurance that we're the ones with the map. They're still at the helm, but we're over here with like, okay, we're charting course, you know, for such and such. So that's just a little note there. So this is where the brainstorming really begins. And it goes down to, like here, all in all, but it's these three nuggets are kind of the core of it. So we identify a vision or focus theme. So what would they like to focus on today? It could be if we do have like a program that we're working with them through, then we may already know that. We'll just confirm it with them. But for your purposes, as you begin buddy coaching and practice coaching, you will invite them to share either before the call in a questionnaire or at the beginning of your conversation what they would like to focus on, like what would feel right for them by the end of the call. And so they might frame that in a challenge that they're having, like I'm having a really hard time believing that I can start my own business. I just don't think I have what it takes, and like da-da-da, right? So they might speak to this vision in terms of what's not working and what their challenges are, or they might speak to the vision as something in a more positive orientation, if you will, where they're like, I would love to figure out how to manage my time so well that I have 4 hours a week to focus on my business, right? So they might have it in a more positive orientation. Either way, they're going to identify the vision and the focus theme. So what they don't teach you during coaching school is this is something that we need and get to dig into. Sometimes this will be a conversation, a little mini conversation. Sometimes this will be, they won't even really know that we're doing it, but what we want to do is always, always, always. We want to help the client create more awareness about their perception of reality. And what often happens, as many of you know, is that you may think you have one vision. You may think that you have, you know, a goal or, and that it's one thing, but oftentimes it's something that is a few layers down that we didn't really know was in there. So if possible, I like to kind of pull the layers at the beginning of the call just so that we can have a more accurate North Star. It doesn't always work like that by any means, but digging in here is really helpful. So this is where we start to use our levels of listening. This is where we start to use our 4D tune in. This is where we start to use our intuition. So if our client is telling us that they don't know if they have what it takes to start their own business, and they just really, you know, they just want to brainstorm that, or they just, that's what they want to focus on, we get to take a pause if needed and tune in and look at the directions we can go in, because every moment holds an infinite number of directions, and there's no right or wrong necessarily. We can take their thing at face value, right? Their focus point. Okay, like let's focus on, like you don't think you have what it takes to own your own business. Let's focus on that. We might have an intuitive sense that it's about something else. It's about something like more core, and this is a symptom, but there's like a more core thing going on, like self-love or programming from their culture, family, society, school, etc. But at any rate, we may have a sense that there's something deeper going on that is creating a symptom that the client thinks is the actual problem, right? They're like, I just don't think I have what it takes. But we have a sense of like, okay, let's see if there's something deeper in there. So this is something that can happen organically throughout the session where we, through our inquiry and through our intuition, we help them to realize that it is something deeper, or we at least help them explore that. Like, maybe we're wrong. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But nonetheless, we help them create more awareness around that. Or this is something that I sometimes will spend the majority of the session peeling back the layers to. Sometimes I spend almost an entire session, and I'll be totally frank about that. I'll be totally clear in saying, like, before we actually brainstorm ways to move through this, or before we talk about solutions or goals or how to break this down into milestones, let's make sure that the actual thing is what we think it is, because otherwise we might be putting the ladder up the wrong wall, right? Or we might be like using one map for a different continent. So I'll dig in and using questions and intuition and something I'll be sharing with you ladies in a moment here, I'll do my best to follow that curiosity and facilitate that curiosity and empower them to feel safe enough to go deeper and peel back those layers around what might this really be about. Like, what might this actually, what might be at the core of this? And we'll, of course, along our coaching journey, ladies, like, we will, in Foundations, we're going to learn how to do this. I'm just resting here to emphasize this because I see coaches cruise through this and leave this stone unturned. And I think that it's a really important and valuable checkpoint before the brainstorming even begins. So is this making sense? Does anybody have any questions so far? Okay. So then we start brainstorming. So, all right. So you don't believe you can start your own business? Well, let's brainstorm ways to see if that's true or if that's accurate or how you can find out what it takes to start your own business or, you know, et cetera. So this is where we partner with them. It's a collaborative brainstorming think tank in a way where technically speaking, we are never giving them answers. We're never telling them what they should do. We're never saying, oh, do this. This is, you know, this worked really well. There's never any like directive input happening from our side. And the ICF would freak out and disqualify anybody. That's one of those things that they're like, about. And I get it. And I uphold that most of the time. So we're here to get curious with them, to explore with them, and then start setting strategies and goals to formulate an action plan. So client realizes such and such about their vision, and they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess if I did do some research about how stay-at-home moms do start their own businesses and succeed, like, I guess that would help me feel more confident about, you know, whether I can do it or not, right? So the more they realize in the brainstorm, then they're able to identify strategies and goals. So maybe their goal for the week is to research for 2 hours, research blogs about stay-at-home mama entrepreneurs or something, right? So that's their goal. That's their action plan. And then another thing that I see skipped a lot is a lot of times coaches are like, great, sounds like a plan, cool, let's set up your accountability, and then off we go, right, off to the races. And what is also very helpful to slip in there is the identifying obstacles and strategizing how to overcome them. Because the best laid plans of mice and men, as we all know, are most of the time, hopefully, things go well and we follow through, but not always. And sometimes when we're aware of our blind spots or our hurdles, and we pretend they're not there, or we don't actually address how we're going to get over them, then those get right in the way. So there's a ton of value in helping them identify any obstacles that might come up and how to overcome them. And then having the discussion around accountability. So accountability can be, the ICF recommends that we empower our clients to be self-accountable as much as possible. And I agree with that. So we can ask them, who can help you stay accountable? And they might be like, oh, I can do it. Or they might be like, oh, my partner, my friend, my husband, whatever. I personally, as a coach, am totally happy helping my clients stay accountable. So I will set up a check-in plan or, you know, a Trello board or whatever to help them stay accountable. There's a very important distinction here around being supportive and caring and helping them stay accountable, the distinction between that and caretaking and codependency and being too involved in their accountability. And we get to distinguish that for ourselves. I'm never going to say what's too much, what's not enough, whatever. It's up to us. But what we want to do is be there like a, you know, like a pillar for them without them needing us to stand on their own 2 feet, if that makes sense. So being mindful of that and how much they might be relying or depending on us for their action items or for their accountability is really, really important. And there are coaches out there, a lot of coaches out there, who are not accountability coaches. They will straight say, like, I'm not going to help you stay accountable, with the exception of, like, you're showing up for your session every week, and that's that. And it's up to you to make shit happen. So there are a lot of, especially, like, corporate executive level coaches and athletics and things like that. It's more, like, hands-off, like, you do the work, come back for a session and, you know, and have it done. So it's up to us to decide what that looks like for us. And then the wrap out of the session is you can summarize it. This is what we covered. These were the ideas that came up. These are the actions. These are obstacles. Does that all sound good? Is there anything you want to add or modify? You can also have them summarize what their action steps are and how they're related to their goals. So this is basically like an overview closeout. And then as you ladies know, I love to do a takeaway round, because to me, the takeaway helps the client reflect temporally on what we covered, and then also helps them to their subconscious to kind of deliver in their consciousness, like, this is what stood out, this is what I'm walking away with, or this is the aha or the insight from the call. So takeaways are a great way to do that too. All right, so this is a session structure. One big brainstorming session. And this is what I'm going to invite you ladies to start doing it with each other this week. And again, we're going to practice this format for a couple weeks, and I'm going to continue giving you things to weave into it. Like, I think I used the analogy of playing the drums last week, I think. But yeah, so it's like learning the rhythm. Right now we're learning like the tempo and the rhythm. And then you have active listening, so that's like the hi-hat. And then you've got intuition, so that might be like the snare. And learning how to build all of this in and be present in the moment and actually tracking the conversation. And I think that having a format is helpful to start practicing all of this stuff. And then come late July, August, then we're going to start playing with a different approach and the other, like, the variations on the theme that we can work with. So this will be in the action items, and I will be asking that you record your sessions. You don't have to have the screen on with Zoom or whatever software you're using, but I do ask that you record your buddy calls, your practice calls, and I will be listening into as many as I can. I'll have you upload them to a folder, and I'm happy to listen in and give feedback. And I know that feels stretchy, or it probably feels stretchy and maybe mortifying, but I'm just here to listen in, to give feedback, to get my thumb on the pulse of like how things are going and how you're progressing. And I'm not over here judging you. Like, there's nothing to judge. So feedback is a really helpful component of gaining our coaching skills and mastery. So I'm happy to do that. And one more component of this. So I get asked a lot about note taking, like, should I take notes? Should I not take notes? Do I type? Because I type notes. You guys, I think all of you except Stace know that I type all my notes. As I have a weird, I'm grateful for it, but a weird thing where I'm able to like be in the zone and tracking and like typing at the same time. Like, it actually helps me to do that. But by no means is that standard. By no means is anybody like expected to do that. So play around with your note-taking as well. So practice, you know, jotting down notes in a notebook to help you track, or typing notes, or maybe you realize that taking notes, like, you just jot down some, like, high-level themes, and that's it. You don't actually, like, track the majority of what's coming up. Totally fine. It's a very, very individual thing, note-taking. So play with that and see what, you know, works for you, and experiment with that. It's totally, oh, I'll stop my screen share for a second. It's totally okay to have the session format and your coaching questions and your coaching competencies like in front of you while you're doing a call. So it's, you know, especially if you're not on a video call. and you can absolutely use your training wheels. Please use your training wheels. Like, ain't no shame at all. Like, let's learn, the fundamentals before we try to go off, you know, without them and read off script. So, especially with each other, you know, like, this is all to be as like imperfect as possible and just get our feet wet and dive in and start playing. And even with people that you, your friends or family or, you know, pro bonos that you're going to be doing, you can just let them know that you might have some visual aids around you if you're doing video calls, you might be glancing. And and play with formats to see what, to feel into what you resonate with most in your coaching approach. As you know, with the exception of these group calls, I just do phone coaching. I don't do video coaching. I found personally I'm able to focus and tune in better without the visual in the one-on-one capacity. But some people, it's the opposite. And a lot of coaches will say, will poo-poo on me and say that I'm missing 80% of nonverbal communication, right? Or communication is nonverbal and I'm missing out on that, which perhaps I am. But I just find that, and for the client too, I, in my experience, again, totally my own personal experience, try this out for yourselves, but I have a sense that the client is also, there's like a safety or in like an anonymity to the phone that video doesn't have. So they're able to focus better, I think, than with video. It's just different flavors. But video is also awesome, obviously, because here we are. And we can tune into nonverbal cues, and we can see facial expressions, and we can track with the other person. And or if we want to use, like, multimodal tools and techniques where they might, we might have them do, like, postures or movements or whatever, you know, video is great. So I just want to make it clear that there's not necessarily a right or wrong around this. It's more like, play with it, get dirty, get colorful, see what you resonate with, see what brings out your natural gifts, if you will, or that like flow in you over time, and go with it. And that's totally right. Okay, so the core competencies, I will have you ladies read through those again this week. So there's formerly 11 core competencies, ICF core competencies. And as of 2021, in January, they're going to, or maybe it's in October, at some point in the near-ish future, they're switching to a different set of core competencies. They're switching to 8 core competencies. And the good news is that now that Ashley and I have gone through with a fine-tooth comb for our ICF application, I can tell you with confidence that the 11 and the 8, it's the same shit. It's all the same stuff. The ICF just put things in different places and organize things a little bit differently. I think it's great. I like the new format better, but there's not a lot new under the sun with the new 8. So I was kind of like debating whether to teach you ladies the 11 or the 8, and it doesn't really matter. And I have the resources for the 11, so we're just gonna do that for now, and then we can discuss the 8 later, and you'll be like, oh yeah, totally, that's this one and that's that one, and so on and so forth. So the core competencies are the way of being that we're bringing into the coaching session. And very conveniently, they line up really well with the overall arc of the session. So let me format this so we can all see. So ethical guidelines and professional standards, establishing coaching agreement. Sound familiar? It's kind of the same stuff. So again, this can be done in the initial session, but for our purposes in the next, in buddy coaching, please do practice these, and what this means is all included in the, this is like 37-page document or something like that. So please read through this and get a sense of what each of these core competencies means. And in terms of your buddy coaching calls, your practice calls, confidentiality is really the most important thing to include. So you'll maybe open the session with, thanks for reaching out. I'm really excited to dive into our session today. Just as a friendly reminder, everything we talk about is confidential, stays between you and I, and you. This is a safe space for us to explore the goals that you have in your life or the goal that you want to discuss today on our call. So it doesn't have to be like a whole like, but establishing the confidentiality in the setting is ICF protocol. So I will ask that you build that in. And then you can have a questionnaire that you send over to your coaching buddy or your pro bono friends, family, etc., that you send over by email or Google Forms, which is what I use, or Calendly. And that's to serve if you would like to have a little upfront information. So what are their current goals and challenges? What would they like their focus to be for the session? Anything else that they want to tell you, et cetera. So give me a short little form, and that is helpful for you to kind of tune into where they're at, where you guys might be headed. I'm happy to post the link to my session prep so that you ladies can take a look at that and adapt it to however you want. I'll post that in the foundations, actually. That's a good idea. Okay. And then core competency, establishing trust and intimacy. We already kind of talked about that. Coaching presence. So 4 through 8 are all what we're embodying in the core of the conversation. So it's our presence. It's our listening, it's our questioning, it's our being direct, so not sugarcoating, not handholding, not enabling, stuff like that. And then creating awareness, so really helping the client to pull back the layers, like what else, or another question, or like let's explore this from a different angle, and like getting in as much as we can. So this is all part of the drum kit of navigating the actual session itself, and especially the identifying the vision and the brainstorming parts. And again, these are all super thoroughly unpacked in this workbook, so please feel free to dive in and read through this. Post your questions in the Facebook group. I am super, super happy to address anything that doesn't make sense or that you want some clarity on. And yeah, so then designing actions, planning and goal setting, managing process and accountability, we already discussed those in the session format. So the first three and the last three are overlap with coaching session format. And then the four or five in the middle, whatever it was, five in the middle from four to eight, those are the I always want to say the meat of the session, but it grosses me out because I'm a vegetarian, but like the core of the session. cool. And so core competencies, basically with the ICF, like this is all they, this is really all they care about. They just want to know that people know how to handle themselves and how to navigate a coaching session in, you know, an adept fashion to facilitate the process of the client. So that's nuts and bolts stuff there. Okay, so I'm going to take a pause and take any questions that are coming up, and then we're going to open this up into a group activity in a moment here and do a round robin to close out. So any questions? Okay. I'm doing all right with this practical, logical, nuts and bolts stuff. It's hanging in there. Okay, cool. All right, so here's a little secret formula that you may remember, may not know, or may know very well. And this secret formula is really helpful for helping that vision emerge and finding out more about the accuracy of their vision. It's also really helpful for getting a sense of the client's operating system, like the how they think, what they think, why they think, so that we can actually help them see their light, aka help them achieve the thing they want to achieve. So this is something that, for those of you who have been through LFP or read through Module 3 and beyond, will sound very familiar, and now we get to learn how to adapt it to other people. And that is that the thoughts create behaviors, create results formula, right? So I'm going to embellish on that a little bit, and I'm going to teach you how to reverse engineer it, and we'll drop into activity. So thoughts create behaviors, create results, yes. Thoughts also, and this is kind of like overarching, our thoughts create our experiences. Our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts, everything comes from here, everything. So whatever our feeling is, or whatever our perception of the world is, or whatever is happening in our moment-to-moment experience is happening from inside, from our cognition, from our thinking, which is why it's so fucking important to be aware of what we're thinking so that we know what train we're on, which train we don't want to be on, which train we do want to be on, when to pull the e-brake. So knowing that is such an amazing key when we're working with somebody, when we're in a session or a conversation with somebody else and they're telling us this story about how they're not worthy and they can't do the thing and it's so hard and their gremlins are running and all the stuff, right? We can sit there in presence and we can tune in using all the senses. We can tune in to, okay, this is the story I'm hearing. These are the results that this person is getting. What might be going on at the level of their thoughts and beliefs and stories that is giving rise to, let's say, like the challenges, right? Or if they say they want to make $5 million a year and they're like telling us that that's their goal, that's their mission, that's all they care about is $5 million a year. Sounds great on paper, sure. But that's one of those things where I'd be like, let's explore a little bit more deeply here. Like, what's motivating this? Why is this important to you? Why are you working 80 hours a week in corporate, burning yourself out? And like, you know, just wanting to keep plowing ahead. So looking at their results, looking at their actions, looking at their reality, and then reverse engineering that, we get to get curious about their mindsets, their beliefs, and the stories and the thoughts that they're co-signing internally, right? So this is kind of advanced coaching stuff, but I'm bringing it up now because I think it's really it's golden, right? Like this is so important to know and to be able to tune in with when someone says, I want to focus on this for our session, I'm having trouble in this area, or I have a goal in this area. We can then tune into how can we help them see and optimize their level of thinking and create new thinking that helps them to feel their light, to see their light, and to utilize that awareness to create what they want in their life in alignment with their light, if you will. So this is going to be part of the practice in combination with like intuition, but just take your time with each other too in these buddy calls. I forgot to mention that. Like, you guys can totally, for the first few of them, be like, all right, let's go through this like step by step, have our pieces, you know, have our references here, the thoughts, beliefs, results formula, you know, whatever, and like slow things down and do it together. And like, okay, I have a goal that I want to lose 5 pounds, or, you know, and then the other person can be like, okay, so I'm hearing that that's your goal. Like, let's drill into that a bit and see what's motivating that, like what thoughts are behind that. Because if you're getting the results that you're not losing weight, let's see what we can find, you know, that's keeping you from doing that. So yeah, this, it's like such a golden formula. It's so amazing when we can tune into where on a cognition, a level of cognition and a level of storytelling, we can help them see that like, oh, it's just a story that's getting in your way, or like, oh, it's a story you get to create about what it is you want in your life. Then there's something that shifts psychologically and also spiritually, if I'm being honest, because we're creating new windows of and new ways of seeing and new ways of perceiving the world, new paradigms, if you will. So it's important. Okay. So let's do a group activity for the last 20 minutes here. Did that piece make sense? The thoughts, behaviors, results. Conversely, results, behaviors, thoughts. We're kind of tracing it back and reverse engineering. Okay, cool. All right. So let's see here. Who would like to volunteer to be in the hot seat as our client and share either a real challenge or discontentment that you're experiencing, or something that you're desiring, like a longing, like I want this, or a vision that you have? Basically, what I'm wanting to do here is create like a little tiny micro slice of the standard coaching session format, where we have someone sharing with us what they think the vision is for the session, if you will. And then I'm going to, for whoever's not in the hot seat, I'm going to, and we'll do a round robin, invite you to get curious about kind of checking in with them about their vision. Like, is this, why is this important to them? What's motivating this? Or just kind of starting the process around peeling back the layers around their vision or their challenge. And we won't get too deep into it. I wish we had hours and hours and hours to do like mock sessions right now. But so to clarify, someone's in the hot seat as though they were in a coaching session. And then we'll do a round robin where you can use the questions from the question sheet or not. You can totally just like ask whatever is coming in intuitively, which is fantastic as well. And this is the initial part, as I mentioned earlier, that I think is really important that we like make sure we're tuning into before we just go, okay, let's brainstorm. So Who would like to be in the hot seat? Yay, Eliana. Awesome. Okay. And does this make sense? Does anyone have any questions about what we're up to here? Okay, cool. So to keep it super simple, we are here to support Eliana in getting clearer about her light and the desire around that light and anything that could be blocking it. All right, Ms. Eliana. So share with us something that you'd like to have some support around or focus on and explore and brainstorm a little bit as we close out today's call.
Okay. Definitely finding like balance between you know, mom life and you know, just staying home, because I end up doing like 5 million things and then not making myself a priority. So that, I guess that's what I'm struggling with, and having this like sense of guilt, like, am I being, you know, when I start devoting time to myself, am I taking time away from my family? And yeah, and then it's just like creating a routine and sticking to it.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Eliana. That's perfect. So, ladies, from here, you're welcome to reframe and check in with Eliana to make sure you heard everything accurately. You're welcome to, if there was something that was like, ooh, maybe this is really the thing, or maybe this, there's some layers under here, you're welcome to explore that. And that was a perfect example, Eliana, because there were a lot of elements and layers to what you just told us. For us, it wasn't 5 pounds. Like, so no, this is great. I love it. This is really good. yeah. So the objective here, ladies, is to help you and Eliana hone in on the vision, like what the vision actually is, the desire actually is. Okay, so I'm in a round robin, and feel like, don't even worry about getting this right, by the way. Like, we're going to get messy. We're going to try things on. We're going to explore, and it's totally okay. If, you know, yeah, there's no right or wrong here. And I'll start with, does anyone want to volunteer? Start peeling back the layers. Okay. Turkey's smiling, so I'm going to go turkey.
So, Eliana, I hear you saying you would like to have a balance between being a mom and a caretaker as well as nurturing your own self. What are your beliefs around being a good mother? How do you define that?
That's a good question. It would be being present and not like immersed in 500 different things. Really just focusing on an activity with Lowen rather than like in my head and thinking about like my to-do list, or, you know, thinking about, man, just sometimes I get stuck in like La La Land, you know, or, yeah. And being a good mom to me is being the best version of yourself. Because I really believe when you're the best version of yourself, that's when you can really help your child blossom into the best version of themselves, you know.
Do you want me to continue or somebody else?
For the sake of time, we'll go...
One moment.
Yeah, we'll do like an inquiry, a response, inquiry, response. We'll go around the circle.
Thanks, Diana.
Yeah. Great. Kim, thank you.
So you, what I hear you saying is that you do believe that the best way to be a good mom is to be the best version of yourself. So what would you consider to be the best version of yourself?
That's good. I would say not being lost in my thoughts and not not believing that, because back then I used to suffer from,
It's very sensitive, I can tell. Being a mom is really important to you.
There was a time in my life where I suffered from OCD, and it was intrusive thoughts, and there are moments where I have, you know, those thoughts that come, and I get so caught up in them, and I'm like, oh my God, but it's gotten better, so I'm not gonna, I'm so grateful for them as well. It's something that it's helped me grow so much, you know.
Well, that's good that you can see the growth that's coming out of it, you know.
Yeah. It's really set me on my journey, and it's helped me remove the stigma that's around, you know, mental illness, and, you know, like, you can be so normal, and you can be such a great person, and you really don't know what's going on in that person's life, and they can feel so, like, it's just, it can be a scary place sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, I did not expect to cry.
It was real for you. It is real for you.
Yeah.
Stace, do you want
to? Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do this right, so Yvonne, you can just correct me at the end. I mean, Aliana, I want to just first acknowledge how brave and vulnerable you made me cry, just being a mom too and remembering those feelings, and it, you know, I hear that kind of that feeling of wanting to serve your child so well and be the best version of yourself, and then also fighting internal battle of these OCD thoughts and I need to do this and how do you find that balance. I'm curious, what are the moments where you feel like you connect? It's a daughter, right?
Yeah.
What are the moments that feel the best where you feel like, okay, we're connecting, everything's, I'm not having these thoughts, I'm just feeling connected to her. What does that look like? What does that kind of paint the picture for it?
It's when I'm at her level and we're just like playing together, and, you know, I'm communicating to her like the way she's communicating to me, and it's that nonverbal aspect of our conversation, because she can't really talk. She's only 13, turning 13 months.
Yeah.
And when I'm with her, it's like magic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's the greatest feeling in the world when I'm truly in the moment with her, whether if it's like we're playing blocks or, you know, we're walking outside, and if we're doing our morning routine, which is we say hi to the sun, we open up all the shades, and we give our thanks together, and those little things that we do together, it's what really fills my soul.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear it in your voice. It just sounds beautiful, and you can hear the magic in that, and that, you know, you're truly living life together, seeing the things together, and that's amazing. Do you feel like there are common triggers that get you from being out of that magic?
Oh yeah, definitely. I would say when I don't do my morning routine, that's when my day is just like super thrown off. Or if I don't put like my mental health first, then those could be like trigger points for me. And when I'm not in the present moment, like if I'm either like thinking of the future, I'm super anxious. And if I'm in the past, then I notice that I'm a little like lethargic and, you know, so those can all be trigger points. But if I focus on a routine, then I'm really there.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense why that balance then would be so important to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want me to keep going or?
We'll take a pit stop here for a moment. That was awesome, ladies. Yes, this is beautiful. Peeling back the layers and tuning in, really making sure that your understanding is aligned with what she's expressing and helping her to also tune into what's underneath this. I mean, the emotion that's coming through is like, that's such a signal that, like, let's stay here, right, in this space for a while. Well, there's emotion coming up. So this is great first round. And let's continue with it. And we'll still stay in the clarification of a vision here. We're getting closer, and I don't want to interrupt the flow too much here, so I'll shut up. So kind of leaving off where Stacy was with her, and let's see if there's more there, more clarity that can be had around either what she's desiring or what's getting in her way, or what the vision and the focus might be. So I'll hand the mic back over to you, Ricky.
Yeah, so I heard you say that when you have your morning routine, you're in a better state of mind to be more present. Before I ask you what throws you off with the routine or what's the obstacle, I want to ask, what do you think of taking care of yourself, like self-care and nourishing your soul? What does that mean to you? And do you think it is selfish to do that?
What does it mean to me? It's definitely a priority. It's something that I've learned the hard way, in a sense, where it's, you know, I learned that younger when I started having those experiences of the intrusive thoughts, and I felt like my world was crumbling down, and this was like 7 years ago. And I realized that I have to put myself first. If not, nothing matters. So to me, it's number one priority, self-care. And there are moments where I can get thrown off, and it's like I was telling Stacy, it would be just like trigger points of me not doing my morning routine.
So can you walk me through your morning?
Oh yeah.
What helps you?
Okay, so Fawn taught me a body scan in the morning. So as soon as I wake up, you know, your thoughts are already starting. So then I do have Loan, and she's looking at me, and she's ready to conquer the day. So I just tell her, like, you know, can you give mommy like just 2 minutes, please? And so I do a body scan, and I give thanks to God for another day of life, and I give thanks for three things. And then I pick up Loan, and we literally open every single shade in the house to say hi to Mrs. Sun. And we give thanks. We give thanks to God for another day of life, and for the beauty of nature. And then I put her down. I read like either a verse or something positive. And then I hop onto YouTube and I put morning motivational videos, and there's like 5 million videos. And then from there, I go make my coffee, and I'm obsessed with Jen Sincero's You're a Badass Every Day. So I read that every single day. And then Fawn also taught me, and Herky, that it was both of you guys, the magic of being outside, even if it's just for a minute, and just observing a tree. There was something grounding about that. So I do that. I go outside and I look at the tree. I take 5 real deep breaths, and then I'm ready to start my day. It sounds super long, but I swear I do it under 30 minutes.
Good for you. That's amazing. I'll let you take over, Kim.
That sounds great. I don't see how you just don't get lost in it, like just to stay there, and that just sounds so peaceful. And I think it's so cool that you're getting Loan involved in it too. Maybe she won't be like us and she'll pick that up and keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. I want her to have her morning routine down pat.
Yeah. That is
her up early.
Absolutely. I want some affirmations to put in her bathroom, and Fawn will be proud.
She's going to be the first LFP child.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, goodness. So I'll go, I think Herky was going to go into what obstacles get in your way of doing that or making that happen on a more consistent basis?
It would be when I'm lost in my thoughts, which is not wanting to be living in Charlotte, as bad as that sounds. Like, I'm so grateful for this place, but I'm counting down the minutes, the seconds. And when there are some mornings where I wake up and I feel like this heaviness in my heart and I miss home, you mm-hmm. know? So that's something that really triggers me.
Okay. So a thought of discontentment. Of
yes, absolutely. Okay.
And how do you usually deal with that thought when it comes
I try not to get really like sucked into it. So I try to shift my perspective and like my attitude to like a state of gratitude. So I start listing in my head or I'll write it down, like all the things, all the beauty that has come out of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And that really, really helps me.
Okay. And when the times that does not help, what happens?
I'm going to be completely real. I become a couch potato. And I'll watch Coco Melon all day with Lowen, and I'm literally like Lowen's puppet.
I have another question, but I'll let Stacey take it.
I feel stuck. I don't know why I'm feeling stuck. Like I'm getting caught in like, I'm feeling so bad for that state that I almost feel stuck in like, mm-hmm. like I can feel you on that couch, you know, like stuck like that. And I'm drawing a blank for some reason. I don't know why it's, what's going on. Mm-hmm. So maybe Kim, you can ask your question.
Just, because now I'm sorry, I lost my thought.
I have a question if you
go ahead.
Alana, so I know you're planning to move, because I know you personally, to Florida instead of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What part of your home do you miss? Is Florida your home?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Miami.
So Miami is home to you.
Yeah.
What does Charlotte not have that Miami does?
My family. Sorry. It's one of those days.
Let it come out. Okay. And who all are in your family?
We're a tight-knit bunch. My parents, okay. My siblings, my nephew. My cousins, just home, like the tropical weather, the sun, the beach, the community, you know, and what's crazy was I was dying to leave, but it made me realize, like, there's nothing like home.
Yeah. Looks like you're really missing the family, the community, the weather.
Super homesick right now.
And what is binding you to Charlotte?
Carlos. Yeah. We can't just pick up and leave. I wish we could, but we just can't. But I'm open to moving anywhere in Florida, so I'm literally just praying to God that anywhere in Florida, I'll be so happy. Because if I need my Miami fix, I can just drive down. And there's beaches everywhere. That's all I need.
So I'm going to pause us here just real quickly. I know we're at time. Does anybody need to hop off now? This moment. Okay. So this is a part, like, where we've drilled, you ladies have done an amazing job at helping Aliana drill down to, through the layers of what gets in the way of balance, what gets in the way of her morning routine, what triggers intrusive thoughts, what contributes to her having days where she goes, she's like on the couch and, you know, disconnected from her energy and her motivation. This is amazing. Like, this unpacking, peeling back process is phenomenal. Like, you ladies are amazing. And so now we're at a place where we've drilled down to, like, the really, can you, like, we can all feel it, right? How tender this is, this pain and tenderness around how much she misses her family. And this is a place where a lot of people, especially us as women, naturally, we want to save her, right? We don't want Aliana to be feeling this way. We want to just wrap our arms around her and, like, carry her to Florida ourselves. And it's really tempting to get into problem-solving mode. It's really tempting to get into, oh, gosh, she's feeling sad and distraught right now. Like, let's help her get out of this space. This is uncomfortable. This isn't okay, right? Our society is like, oh, even, and we all do it. I've seen all of us do it where we get emotional and we say sorry. The first thing we do is we apologize. Like, sorry, 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 right? And this is so beautiful and so cosmic right now because there's so much being illustrated in this natural organic unfolding. The emotion needs to be felt. It needs to come through. It's that, it's another one of those multi-sensory things that is here to serve Aliana, as paradoxical as it might sound, because we don't want to be sad. We don't want to be in anguish. And so we try to shove these emotions under the rug. And as coaches, if we're not comfortable with emotions, we're going to subconsciously, like, steer our clients away from their emotions too. And we don't want to do that. We want to be really, really fucking careful about that. So leaning into the emotion, and which a lot of, all of you have, like, reassured and validated and mirrored back, like, you know, I can feel this right now. I'm feeling a lot around this with you, or I can see how much this means to you. And so now that we've drilled down to this really tender place around family and how much she misses her family, we can sit with, well, there's a lot, we can do anything, but we can be with her there without, we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to have a goal necessarily that we're aiming to, because this is alive. This is real. This emotion is real. And we can support her in feeling it and being in that space and giving it some time. And this is where intuition is really helpful, because it's not like, oh, 5 minutes, all right, let's go. But sensing into what information might be here in this emotional experience for her. What might her higher self or her light be communicating in this moment that might seem paradoxical to the original goal or vision, but somehow might be connected to it. So how is this core layer, now that we've drilled way down, this core seed, this layer of missing family and the pain around that and the suffering and the struggle, how might that be related to finding balance and not feeling guilty about taking time for herself? Like, is there a connection, right? Or are we now in a different place where we're exploring family? So there's, like, so many different ways we can go. And I just want to, like, open this up right now and be totally transparent that there's no one right way. There's no, like, okay, like, choose A through D, right? And, like, oh, my thing. And we're all going to have a different intuitive nudge around this. We're all going to have different moments of blankness. We're all going to have a different way of approaching it. And that's totally okay. And what we can do to, for kind of our literal purposes here, but also in the more universal sense of in a coaching session, when we drill this deep, we can get curious about what information, the experience that she's having right now in the moment and the emotionality of it, what information is there here that might be helpful in supporting her with the initial thing? And there might not be a connection. Usually there is somehow, though. So we can even ask it like that, like, you know, how might this be related to bringing yourself more into balance? Or how is your love for your family, how can that be a part of bringing things into balance? Or what wisdom might your family have for you about taking time for yourself and taking time away for yourself to do the things you care about? Like, so there's, you know, a lot of things we can sense into here. And for, again, the sake of right now, on this call, let's do one more round and see what might happen with some space holding and some guidance with where she's at now or was a couple moments ago. And if there's a connection to having more balance in her life, what that might look like and how that might be, the information might be there. And again, with coaching, like, we never know what's going to happen. Everything is spontaneous. Everything is improvisational. And sometimes we don't have an aha. Sometimes there isn't a place we arrive at where we're like, yeah, that was awesome. So it's totally cool if that doesn't happen. And the exploration itself is valuable. So no pressure. Again, I'm just wanting to really decompress any kind of like getting it right that might be happening. All right. So left off with Herky. So to Kim, I'll hand the mic over to you, Kim.
So with your family being far away but so important to you, and you wanting to find that balance, how could being with your family possibly help you with that?
I guess because I see it, like, if I had my mom here, it would be easier in a sense that, like, because Carlos works, like, a full day, and sometimes he works late, you know, I'd be able to focus more on my goals. So it would be a way of, like, alleviating me, and, like, there's just some days being a mom where it's, like, you just need 15 minutes to yourself, like, just, like, a break, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm also very blessed that Carlos is so hands-on. Like, he is, like, there's no gender roles. It's, like, he does everything and with his eyes closed, and he does it happily, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like he's supportive, even though, you know, he works and everything. He seems
supportive. Yeah, absolutely. And
wanting your family to be there. Yeah.
Mom,
you're the best.
Absolutely.
I'll shift over to you, Stace.
I think your family sounds amazing, both your little family and your extended family. And
thank
it
you.
Sounds like it's just, you can see the beauty in it. I'm curious, I guess I just have this like nagging thing to me of like how I hear the lack of balance and the missing the family, and so get that and get how overwhelming it can be to just be the constant mom all day without that.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And especially like you said, being stuck home in this time too, right?
Oh my God. Yeah.
What are ways that you get to fulfill yourself?
That's a good question.
Throughout the day.
Listening to podcasts, honestly, like it really helps me. Or just listening. I remember Fawn taught me micro breathing techniques, which is like small little sessions, mm-hmm. like literally just like 2 minutes. And I know that low end, because I have like an area in my house where it's just completely like closed off and she's okay. So I can literally just take 2 minutes and like center in. So that's mm-hmm. doing those little things, that's when I feel really fulfilled.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I love that you have all these little tricks too, because I mean, you could easily be like pulling your hair out every day. Yeah. And the fact you've got a whole toolkit is amazing. How often are you able to do that, like on a normal day?
Probably like 3 times in a day, especially like when she naps. I made a promise to myself that when she goes down, that's me time. And nothing else can go in the way, can come in the way, and no phone calls, no texts, everything can wait. And it's time to focus on journaling. And now the foundation's call, the course, and working with Fawn. So,
yeah. So you're getting that sounds like a good discipline.
Yeah.
In that, right, hitting it regularly. Does that feel like it fills your cup enough?
So much. Like, I feel like myself. Like, I feel like, okay, I'm doing something for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty about what we're all going into, it's such a beautiful thing because you're constantly growing.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you want to pass it?
I was going to ask the same question, Stacey, so I think that's covered. But I don't know if this is, again, problem solving, but I wanted to ask you if you do have, like, a mom community or online community, because that's something that really helped me when I felt in times of...
Honestly, it's you guys. Like, you guys fill my cup, and honestly, I love you guys. And Stacey, I just met you and I connect with you so much already. And I connect with all you ladies, and you guys are my community. And I hope that one day I can pay that forward to other mommies. So, yeah.
I always strongly felt that, you know, so something I wanted to, I'm going a little off track, but having a mom community like that, because it can get really lonely, you know.
Yeah. I have my mom friends where, like, we vent to each other and we send each other memes and, like, funny videos. And, like, I have, like, 2 friends that we're constantly, like, texting, and we keep each other sane.
So I'll wrap it out with a closer question here for Aliana. So based on what's come up in this circle of conversation and curiosity, is there anything that you feel you would like to be or do or change to move closer into balance?
I think it would be creating that discipline, you know, like, okay, I have a morning routine. Maybe I could have like a midday routine, whether if it's just like 5 minutes, and then having a night routine, because the night routine, it's something that, like, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. I think just creating that discipline around that, I'll be able to have that balance.
Right. So this would be, ladies, for those of you listening, this would be where now she's identified an action step that would be helpful, or at least to explore, right? More discipline, more structure, right?
Yeah,
more
absolutely.
Clarity and specificity around beginning of day, midday, end of day, making sure that the things that you want to be doing, you're doing. And so then... we're going to pause here, but the next step would be, what does that look like? Let's create an action plan, and who can help you stay accountable, and what might get in your way, and kind of the wrap out section, right? But for our purposes, I think that was an awesome, like, kind of beginning into the middle of the session. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we're over time. That was so beautiful. So beautiful. And I want to check in with Aliana before we hop off here. I'm also here to answer, stick around and answer questions and or do takeaway round if it's valuable for you ladies too. So, but first, let's check in with Aliana. How was that for you? What was that like?
I needed that. I think it's because I had it bottled in and I was like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And of course, the water works. Right. I've been holding it in for like the whole day. And sometimes, I mean, not sometimes, but all the times there's beauty in those tears and just got to let them go. So I feel like,
Describe that just like a little bit more, the feeling. What is that? What's different now than before?
I feel light. I feel like before I had like this heaviness on my shoulders, and it was, you know, finding that balance and, you know, the trigger points of missing home, not wanting to be here, and being able to vent to you guys really helped me. And you guys asking those powerful questions helped as well.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't have called from the heavens a better example round. That was awesome. Thank you, Aliana, for being so vulnerable and so available for that exploration. And thanks to all of you ladies for your inquiry and your compassion and holding that space. And I really want to emphasize that the emotions are, we want them, we want to help those flow through. They are important. They are transmuting, transforming, and transmitting a lot of information that only can happen through emotion, I think. So that was, yeah, super awesome. All right, I will take a show of hands here. Who would like to do takeaway round? And we'll go to the half hour and then awesome. Oh, great. Thank you. It is cool. So let's take a moment to feel into our bodies. Maybe take a deep breath. Reflect on tonight's call. I'm looking out at the rain right now. It's raining super hard. It's beautiful. All right, I'll share some takeaways. I'll start with Ms. Kim.
I think the part that really, well, I know the part that really got to me was when we took the first break after Aliana started to cry, and you said we could just sit here with her. And there's so many different places to go, and each of us would do it differently based on our intuition, because I was, you know, thinking, you know, as we sit with that, and when you said that might be it, like nowhere else to, you know, to go, I was just like, wow, okay. Like there's no, because I think in my experience, I've just tried to tie it, you know, even in just asking a question, whereas it could just be that is it and that's over. Not over as in we get off the phone, but just over and we just sit there with her and not be afraid of the silence or the lack of connection that has its place and will come later. So I really appreciate it. Yeah, and thank you for sharing such a close to your heart issue. That's amazing.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah, and I will mention I went off the ICF rails because I'm like, oh, we're in the moment. ICF would probably be like, let's keep our eye on the goal, ladies. I'm like, eh. So mixed signals that I'm giving you tonight.
I like that. I said, I like that mixed signal. Keep giving them.
What to do? What we're really going to do. how about you, Stace?
I think I think my big takeaway is my mind, I wanted to sit in that with her, but I also wanted to problem solve it. And I think that's when I like went blank, is I kind of was like, I want to take this away from her. I want to like get to the answer so that she doesn't have to feel like this. And my mind kind of started to go in like problem solving mode, I guess, which was just an interesting, perspective, I guess. And it was really helpful to hear, like, it's okay to sit in this, and it's okay to just not go to the final, not the final solution, but start to get to like a plan of action that would have her not feel those things, if that makes sense. But I really appreciated the exercise. I thought it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for speaking to that. As you do your practice sessions, ladies, notice yourselves having a tendency or a nudge to get out of uncomfortable emotions, yourself and or your client. Notice that when that tendency comes up, and I can almost guarantee that it will. And if you can, in the moment as best you can, invite yourself to stay there, stay in the emotion, explore the emotion. What's coming up right now? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? And we'll talk about this in advanced coaching stuff too, but like have them tune in with their body, have them tune in with their thinking, what's coming up for them in their thinking, because whatever's happening here is what's creating this. Whether in creating awareness around that connection is fucking awesome. So I appreciate your honesty about that, Stacey. And like, it's, I still to this day have to, and I'm not perfect at it at all, but I catch myself wanting to be like, and let's go. Like, let's get out of the sad town. But like, just nope, let's stay here. And sadness is important too. Right? Like, let's explore. Thank you for sharing that. And Herky, take away.
I just had a question. So how do you, and it can come after Herky's, but I don't want to forget it. How do you, and maybe this is the same thing, it's maybe not so much uncomfortable for me, but I'm like, how do you leave a client in that? If it ends sadly, like, do you just let them handle that on their own once the call is over? Do you try to, like, where do you leave them in the sadness, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm. Great question. I will circle back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened today, actually, so it's really interesting you ask that. It happened this afternoon on the call. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Herky, take away.
Yeah, just the session with Aliana, just very heartwarming, and I, you know, connect with her, and then I have to, like, mom-to-mom straight, it, like, pierced my heart, but then I was trying to be the coach part of it, too, you know. Yeah, so that, and then, like, how you said, we peel the layers versus whatever the ICF, whoever, whatever is the goal. So if I was like, okay, Aliana, your goal is morning routine. Okay, let's say Monday you'll do this, Wednesday, and bye-bye. You know, I have missed the human heart that is aching right now. You know, so.
Yeah, thanks, Turkey. Yeah. Aliana, take away.
It's crazy, like, the more we talk about, like, connecting to the source or the universe, however you refer to it, the more, like, magical stuff happens, which, you know, like, this call, it just happened. I swear, I just saw my hand going up, and I was like, what the? And then I started, like, telling myself, like, okay, oh, God, here we go. You know, like, why'd you put yourself in the hot seat? But I needed it. So my takeaway is just I'm grateful and helped me shift my perspective and, you know, back into like a state of gratitude and being able to be in this space with you guys. So thank you guys.
Beautiful. Something guided that hand to go whoop.
Yeah.
I think that happened once in team too, if I'm remembering correctly. And you were like, what did I do? And then you're like, thank God I did that. That's great. Awesome, ladies. All right. Thank you so much for being present and here and willing to dive into the doing of it and the being and the exploring. And this is such a fun, safe space to do this in. And I hope you all feel that way. And it's only going to get better as we continue to go on as a cohort and get into stretch zones and get into deeper elements of coaching and exploration while being in the safety of each other. It's so cool. So on that note, connection wise, I will post in the Facebook group. I'm going to pair you guys up. It's totally arbitrary. I'm not doing this like consciously. I'm just going to arbitrarily pair. I'm going to pair you up and we'll cycle through each week so you're with different people. And then you can sort out what time you can meet when you're available. But we're aiming for one practice session with each other per week minimum. If you're available and open and want to do more, awesome. Like, post that in the Facebook group. Like, if anybody wants to do, you know, extra sessions, I want to do them too. And set aside, I would recommend set aside a good hour and a half for connection and then practicing the session and then decompression if possible. I know that, you know, schedules permitting, of course. So we'll cycle through and then we'll cycle through again in a few weeks and it'll just be reversed. So like if Aliana's coaching Kim this week, then probably in 3 or 4 weeks, Kim will be coaching Aliana. So we'll cycle through and then we'll flip. Yeah, cool. Awesome. And I'm here to answer your question, Kim, or I can record a video in response to that if you need to hop off. And then anyone else that needs to hop off right now, feel free to do so. Thanks, Aliana. Thanks, Turkey. Thanks, Stacey. Thanks for being here. Yay. Do you have a few extra minutes, Kim? I don't want to.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave the tape rolling here because this is such a great question. So my suggestion in this scenario, if somebody's having an emotional, if we've hit an emotional trigger point and it's really alive for them and we're sensing, so there's a distinction that we get to pay attention to, which is the difference between a cathartic emotional process, mm-hmm. processing, versus a story-created cycle.
Okay.
So there's, how do I say, like, There's a dramatic expression of emotion, which is like the story is so alive and like just they're stuck in the cycle. They're stuck in the drier cycle of it, right? Not to say the emotion isn't helpful for them, but probably there's probably more here for us to get curious about, right? Like, so versus if they're having an emotional expression and we can sense that it's like part of the moment, right? Part of the, yeah. So we get to pay attention for that. If we sense that it's a cycle or a story-based, like there's a rumination loop happening or maybe some kind of like victim situation happening or an egoic get off on like poor me or I'm so mad or fuck them or whatever, right? There's something going on there. Mm-hmm. We can take a pause and we can, if we haven't already, we can share with them the connection between thoughts and emotions. That's a great thing to do in that scenario, and it's a great thing to do in the scenario where the emotion might be cathartic, but we're ending the end of the call, or we're like nearing the end of the call. It's like, okay, I don't want to leave this person in suspended animation, like having a breakdown, you know, like, ah! So in either case, it's really helpful to without interrupting the catharsis and the processing, to mindfully say, you know, I'm noticing that, so sorry, on the one hand, if it's a thought cycle, we might share with them, you know, I'd like to share with you a tool that might be really helpful in shifting this, processing it, having some understanding around it. That is that when we're feeling emotions, it's usually because of what we're thinking and the thoughts that we're having in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so teaching them how to kind of trace and reverse engineer, and maybe that's their action item, right? Maybe we send them an action item that is the emotions vocabulary list, and then what thoughts are triggering these emotions, what stories, thoughts, beliefs, you know, have them do that. And maybe that's their action item to start gaining vocabulary around their experience in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be where I would head with that. And if we were like in the middle of the call and I had time to explore that with them, I would check in with the thinking that's happening there. And if the thoughts are, like what those stories are, and like explore that on the hand of the like healthy emotional processing and catharsis. And we're nearing the end of the call or just really in it emotionally, I would stay with them for and watching the clock and stay in the experience of it, and then say, okay, I'm noticing that we have about 15 minutes left here together. Emotions are so valuable, so I invite you to be with your emotions and to not be afraid of them, and to continue following the river of the emotions for the next however long you need to today. Or if they're at like work or something, then they have, and they have to like put their face back on and stuff and maybe help them come out of it, right? Like, okay, later, come back to this, journal about it. You know, what's coming up for you, and, you know, but for now, I know you have to get back to work. So I'm going to kind of, let's bring us back to an equilibrium here, and without like banishing the emotions, like, you know, holding space that will, she can circle back to it. But let's say they don't have to go back to the work and they're in this emotional state, then we can give them tools for their own personal reflection in that state. We want to invite them to be in a safe space, which probably hopefully they are for their session, but we don't want to assume that. So, you know, maybe go out into nature or into your room or somewhere that's safe and comfortable, and grab your journal, maybe light some incense, anything that is conducive to safety and reflection, and invite them to, we can maybe send them the emotions vocabulary list, and you can outline the thoughts, emotions thing as well, and give them those tools to facilitate their journaling or their reflection. And usually emotions, once they're expressed, we come back up. We're like, kind of like Aliana was saying, right? It's like this release happened, feeling better. So it's typically a natural byproduct of being emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But if, I don't know, like, we can always let them know to reach out if they are having a difficult time switching gears or swinging back out of it. And invite them to check in with, like, the level of their thinking and, like, the thoughts connected to the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But really, yeah, empowering them to explore it and not even necessarily need to solve it, but to explore it like they would a forest, or I don't know if that'll freak people out, like explore like they would a new house or a new environment or something, to see what information might be there.
Okay. Thank you. I was just wondering, like, if we really choose to sit with it, how do you end it? You know, like, so thank you that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I suggest sitting with it, that is a tricky thing, and keeping an eye on time, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also being mindful of like sitting versus dwelling, like, which again, coaching, it's always an improvisation. It's always like half right in the moment. Yeah. Today, I'm trying to think about how we, she was still very emotional on the call when we wrapped out. We went back over the like connection between thoughts and emotions,
mm-hmm.
and she's doing gremlin work right now. And so I reassured her that her thoughts are not real, or they're not her, they're not real, you know, like the past isn't real. And this is like building in the conversation. I just put this out of nowhere. And I invited her to do self-care for the afternoon and journal and to just be mindful that she doesn't have to get on any train. She can sit and watch the train yard. Totally cool. And she was like, that's really helpful. Thank you. So, yeah.
Thank you. That's a good one too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
Thank you for answering. Thanks.
Yeah, and I know Herky asked a question last week that I didn't answer. I feel like I realized that this morning. I was like, oh, no, I forgot Herky's question about not getting sucked into social media.
Oh, I saw her question.
Yeah, so I have a note to myself to record a quick video and post it in Foundations. Hi, Herky.
Hello.
Oh, I'm going to unmute you. Oh, I can't unmute you. Will you unmute yourself, Herky?
Oh, here. Sorry. Okay. Like, I was wrapping up, but listening in. I'm also telling the kids to wrap up, but thank you. That was good. Yeah. Understanding. Yeah, and you can answer that question anytime, you know, later. But just listening into Kim's question on, you know, whether they're ruminating or whether it's, you know, which train are they on. So, yeah, that's helpful. And also not being, I think the next one would be, how do you not get into that? Taking the energy. We've spoken about this earlier also, but I think at some point maybe you'll be covering this one. And not like, yeah, it's like completely taking on, you know, what's going on with them.
Yeah, especially when you can relate to it.
Oh know. My God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, we'll be covering this in the next few weeks for sure. And thank you for speaking to it. Again, like the inner work that's required for this stuff is like crazy. I'm such an empath naturally, right? My antenna are like, bang, like out in the world, can't watch violent movies. Can't hear about anything related to anything about kids, animals, torture. No, ears closed. I'm so fucking sensitive. So for me, learning how to do that was a mystery for a minute. Thankfully, it was also when, and I still to this day do, and I'm learning more about it all the time, which is awesome, which is separating the story from my story, separating my story and my value judgment and my evaluation. We have to do that in order to be in presence with someone else. We have to. And it sounds paradoxical because also we want to be empathic. We want to have empathy and connection and relatability. We can do that, but we can't bring our story into it. So when someone's telling me about their super intense whatever situation, and I feel myself being like, oh, God, I remember to myself to be the universe, be the higher version of myself before my story filter comes through and support and be present from that space, which is not always easy or available, but to be almost a witness as neutrally as the universe is with us, and benevolent but neutral in a way, and to separate my judgment, my story from that. It's really deep inner work. So
Yeah, and I guess the observation versus evaluation also comes in that. Like, you're just observing. Yeah.
So everything we're practicing, and you two have been practicing for a long time now, everything you've been practicing around mindfulness and emotions and awareness and all that stuff is going to come in. I mean, already is. You're already working with people, but it's the more you can strengthen these muscles and work on your own personal experience of life, the more adept you're going to be in a coaching session to like be able to hold that space and be present while someone's going through the doldrums.
Right. Yeah. How long did it take you? I'm curious to get to this level.
Gosh. Well, it helped me figure my niche out. I'm not dealing with people's relationship stuff anymore.
Yeah.
It helped me see flat or clients who could use some therapy before working with me, etc. But in all honesty, it had me go to my spiritual gym, like hit the spiritual gym hard, meaning practicing my Eckhart Tolle, my Alan Watts, my mindfulness, my not getting caught up in the story, the human story, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was because I was feeling those things and like getting on, like feeling it blend, that I started practicing those tools. So it wasn't actually that long into it. It was maybe like 6 months or so into like coaching quite a bit that I was able to feel
detached from the story. Okay.
Fuck it though. Sometimes, and I tell my clients this, I probably told both of you, like, there might be times where I'm crying. There might be times everybody's crying.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's, for me, that's totally fine. That's part of the process when you're in connection with another human.
Yeah. No, and even as a client, I think you feel like, okay, I don't see my coach as weak. I see my coach is more relatable if she is, you know, I don't know how other people see it. And I know it's been a long day, but there's one more thing that maybe I'll ask you another time, or I'll put it in the chat, is this whole thing of not trying to give the solution to somebody and trusting that from their own inner knowing, they will come with the answers. Sometimes I and I've sort of even checked that, and I think I honor that also. But what about times that it's been in your experience, and why elongate their journey even more? And I understand how pain and sadness is also an important tool to emerge. But let's say on an entrepreneurial journey, on a parenting journey, on a relationship journey, there is, although everybody has different experiences, there are some universal truths. Should you not at any point, like I say, Fawn, hey, Fawn, you're my new coach. I want to start a business in 2 months. So should you not, or as a parent, like somebody's really dreamy about, I just told somebody about catching up on their nap time because her delivery is, you know, she's due anytime. And I just told her a few things that I thought would be super helpful, having 3 kids and 2, you know. Should you not, like, if you see somebody into that, and should you not, like, bring them into a little bit of...
This is where the coaching world has very different perspectives. And this is another reason why I have chosen not to be part of the ICF, because they will freak out if they hear anybody suggest, like, oh, well, it sounds like maybe you're going through this, and there's this tool that I know to be really effective based in science, blah, blah, blah. They'll be like, decapitated. Like, not that extreme. But so obviously my approach is very different. There's a personal distinction and a universal distinction, I think. Like, the personal distinction being, we don't tell people what to do ever. Right, we never say, "Oh, this is the thing. This is what you should do. This is what I think," or "Go do this." Right, or "Oh, well, you're having this problem because this is happening." Right, like that is something core to. It's disempowering to the other person to assume that we have the answer for them. On a universal level, though, hell yeah, let's give them some tools. Let's give them some insight. Let's share with them a bit of our experience and what we have found helpful. Hence LSP. Like, I was going crazy trying to just, like, not share my tools with people. I was like, this is insane. Why would I not, like, give, you know, there's a middle ground where we can give people the tools. They can do the excavation. They can do the exploration. They can come back to the session, share with us what they realized. And that's a way of us directing them in a way, but also empowering them to find their own answers or at least have new thoughts, new clarity, and then we can help them from there. Mm-hmm. My whole thing and the whole reason one of the whole reasons that LSP exists is because I'm like, let's save people a lifetime of trying to get their own answers.
exactly. You know? I agree. I understand where they're coming from, but I also probably I will fail definitely in ICF because I
So it's great to, make suggestions. It's always with permission. You know, I have a tool that I think is helpful. Explain it to them. Is this something that you'd be willing to try on this week? You know, almost always they're like, sure, yeah, totally. And then they can try it on. Mm-hmm.
Good to know. So much learning. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for that question because it's like, if people have, yes, they have their own answers inside, but maybe they don't have the literal answer inside, which is they wouldn't be in this situation if they had the answer right on their,
Exactly.
I don't mean to make so much light of it, but sometimes to me it's just funny.
I'm sure I learned from so many people. So thankful that this spoke. That okay, I don't have to go through 5 more years or 10 more years of misery because, my light will emerge. My light may be deeply embedded by somebody, could be from my culture, my parents, and it would not take me longer to realize maybe on some things versus,
Oh my gosh, yeah, totally. Yep. All right, ladies.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Have a good rest of your night.
Take care. Bye.